Welcome in to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, with the postman, Eric Sweet, sporting a fresh cut. Sweet, what inspired the shaved head besides the beautiful weather in the summertime?
Well, actually, you nailed it. It's exactly what we're going to talk about here in this podcast. It's summertime, and it's just time to get away and make it low and get out in the sunshine in the pool and get a little burnt on your head. And it's summertime, though, and that's what we're going to talk about, summer basketball, here in a minute. But like you said, sun's out, guns out, head shaved. So let's rock and roll.
That's terrific. Speaking of getting burnt, we both got burnt a little bit at Finley Team Camp this past few days. For those of you that need a little context, a little background, you get with your high school team, I believe it's 13 days in June now where you can coach them and have competition and actually play in scrimmages or games or camps. And we're going to talk a little bit about today what maybe our philosophies are with summer basketball, because some programs choose to use all 13 days and they will go and have a pretty full schedule all of June. And other programs will choose to use anywhere from 3 to 5 days and hardly do anything at all in June. It just depends on what your makeup is like within your program, what your clientele is like with your players. But me and Sweet elected to use 2 coaching days and go to Finley Team Camp, which is something that a lot of the schools from this particular area do in the month of June. Sweet, what were your overall thoughts from Finley Team Camp as somebody that's been doing that for years? I mean, in my opinion, it's like the best camp around to go to for schools like us.
Yeah, I mean, I want to piggyback off a little bit what you talked about there with summer camp. It is. It's progressed over the years I've been coaching. You're newer to the game, and so when I first started coaching, you only got 10, so we've added 3 more days. At small schools, it's completely different than at bigger schools. You know, me and I think you too, Toby, we encourage our athletes to be 2-3 sport athletes. And in the summertime, the weight room's open, and then the baseball happens, and then soccer open fields happen. And so our 13 days don't always necessarily always get those full days. And a lot of times it's just maybe a 2-3 hour window that we have a practice with. But, yeah, we chose to take 2 days, and those are 2 full days that we use to go to Finley. And that's something I like about it, taking the kids overnight. They get to spend time together. You're together all day. You go to eat together. To me, it's very a college feel, and I think you can contest to this. My best times of playing basketball were in college, and it's because you go to practice together, and then you – after that, you go to dinner together. Then after dinner, you go back to the dorms together, and then you do it again. And those kids get our players get that experience when we go to Finley Team Camp. And there's other camps out there, like you said, that you could go to. But I think Finley puts on a great show. I think they do a great job of lining things up. They give you good competition, and they don't put you in categories that you don't belong, because there's definitely a pecking order when it comes to summertime. And you got to be careful with your team and your players of where you go and what pecking order you fall into. And I think Finley does a phenomenal job of that.
Yeah, you have to be very intentional where you take your team in the summer. You don't, and this is my philosophy, you might be different. You're not playing to win a state championship in the summer, despite what maybe some other people think. But you want to go somewhere where you're going to be challenged, have equal or a little bit better competition. You don't want to go roll everybody in the summer, but you don't want to go get rolled all the time in the summer. I know a lot of times in the preseason come winter, people like to schedule a scrimmage or two that's really going to stress their team. You might get rolled a little bit just to open their eyes. I don't think you necessarily want to do that in the summer. But piggybacking off what you said about Finley, I think it's huge because of the camaraderie component of it. A lot of my seniors from this past year said some of their best basketball memories were going to Finley Team Camp, because all you're doing is really playing games, and the games are really short, and you get to play a bunch in a day, and you don't dwell on a loss too much because you're firing it back up in 2 hours to play again. It's a really good experience. Sweet, what do you think about using the full 13 days at schools like us? Maybe compare that to the bigger schools, because I have some thoughts on that as well.
I think it's definitely hard to use my full 13 days. You know, by time, and I try not to, well, we'll start with this. These team camps do cost us money out of our accounts. And so I try to keep it to where, you know, we're not always spending money on things. But then to get people into our gyms is hard too, because they're working around other things too. So I haven't used my full 13 days. I've always gone between 10 to 13, depending on schedules and lifting and baseball and things of that sort. I've always used 10 in the past, and so I try to always hit 10. But a lot of times those 8, 9, 10, 11 are practices now, or I've turned an open gym opportunity into a coaching opportunity, and that gives me my 11 and 12, where I think at a bigger school, and they probably do real practices multiple times, where I won't do a real practice in the sense of a 2-hour practice plan like I would in the wintertime, but I do treat open gyms a couple of times as a practice setting, so that we can do shooting drills and finishing drills and show them some ball handling skills. So that's kind of how I creep up into my 10, 11, 12, 13 days when it comes to the summertime.
I think it's different for us being that our kids play multiple sports. For me, I only used 8 days this June. And honestly, I wasn't even close to having like the same amount of kids that I will have come November 1st. It's really tough to get kids to stuff in the summer. I mean, you have like 3 summer practices, 2 Finley team camp dates, and then we have 2 scrimmages. There's 7 dates. And after that, I mean, these 3-sport athletes, like you said, they're going from baseball to Finley team camp back to make football lifting and agilities at 7. It's a lot. And I think that sometimes, as coaches and as competitors, at least for me this year, I put too much stock into our performance at Finley. Like, I was getting on guys a little bit more than I probably should have in the summertime. And that just speaks to my own personal inexperience. My assistant coach was getting fired up about our shooting. We didn't shoot the ball very well early. And he's like, "These guys aren't getting in the gym." I'm like, "Yeah, but here's what you got to think. When you break it down, these kids, okay, if you want them to spend 1 hour or even 2 hours a day on basketball, because it's the off season in basketball, that means you want them to spend 1 hour to 2 hours on their other sports too, because what makes basketball different than any other sport? So if you say you want them to shoot for 1 hour, there's 1 hour of basketball, 1 hour of baseball, 1 hour of football. Then on top of that, the mandatory stuff. So then they have to go to baseball, football, and basketball. Call that 1 hour. There's 6 hours. Okay. A lot of them have to work summer jobs. There's 4 to 6 more hours. And then they have to sleep and have time to be kids as well. It's like, yes, you want them to get in the gym, but you have to have that work-life balance. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I get it. I totally understand it.
So, I mean, obviously we've talked about this on the pod before. I mean, I'm much older than Toby is and been around head coaching in my own program much longer than he has. And what you just said about your first experience at Finley and kind of getting on your kids, I remember it, man. It took me 4 or 5 years of summer basketball to kind of adjust my mentality with it and not get so fired up over it and make it life or death scenarios, because you do have kids show up, and you do have kids, you do lose kids. And when it comes to these events and these shootouts and these multiple games, certain kids get tired and you try different rotations. And so it took me a long time not to lose my shit on a regular basis in the summertime. I mean, I remember going to team camps and timeout, and it wasn't about drawing plays, it was about yelling at my kids. And the last couple of years, I feel like I've gotten better with it. But like I said, man, this is my 15th year as head coaching, and I'm trying to help. I mean, I'm hoping you learn as, you know, year one, how different you can be in the summertime. You get caught up in it because you do want to compete and you do want to win, but you also want your kids to be kids, like you just said. And I think that's one thing nice about Finley or any other, maybe other overnight camps too, is you get these kids get to go kind of run around a little bit the campus and have some freedom, because I've allowed them to do it because I trust them, but they stay in these pods and the togetherness. And so you're right. We get caught up in wins and losses and yelling at our kids. But end of the day, you're right. I have players that come back and they're like, man, Finley camp was the best. We had so much fun those 2 days. And that's what we have to remember about summertime. It isn't about wins and losses. It's about competing. It's about getting your kids together. It's about trying some new things and working with it. But you do have to compete. And that's why I keep telling my kids every single time we go out, we're here to play. Let's compete. Let's get after it. And early in my career, I was fiery with that. And lately, here the last couple of years, I've gotten better. And I'm trying to adjust myself too as a coach. What can I try out a timeout that, yeah, the other coach may not be ready for because he doesn't have the scouter on me, but if my kids execute it, I can praise them for it. And that's what I've been trying to do more the last couple of years. And I think it's really helped us out and benefited the kids and myself, because you don't get caught up in looking at the scoreboard, looking at the scoreboard, looking at the scoreboard, like you said you did at Finley. And I'd done that before, buddy. It's hard. It's really hard.
The problem I deal with is if you treat everything in the off season as though it doesn't matter, then it's really hard to turn that switch on and then say, oh, now this matters. One of my favorite things is the switch always has to be on. It's really hard to turn it off than turn it on. And so you can have it on, but you need to be a little less intense with it on. I'll be curious to see how much the performance in the summer impacts the psyche of my kids, because going into last summer, my first year, there were no expectations. We were not supposed to be good. We lost, I think it was 95% of our scoring or something like that. And I really was pretty intense in the summer because I wanted them to believe that we were going to be good. And we played really well in the summer. We performed really well at Finley Team Camp. And I thought that really helped our psyche going into the season. I'll be curious to see how it impacts us that we lost some really close games at Finley in the summertime, and we're about 500 when the expectation is for us to finish higher in the league. I think there is a little bit of stock to be put into the psychological impact of performing in the summer. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but I think to some degree, you do have to teach kids how to win. And there's no
Correct.
better time to do it when the stakes are low, like summer. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you, bud. I think it's very important to, A, you do have to go, like I said, you have to go compete, and you want to win and lose. You worry about the wins and losses. But at the same time, there are certain games you got to worry about, did your kids do the things the correct way? Because when season comes, it's different. And what I mean by that is this. We may go roll up against a Division I school at a summertime camp that we have to go look up, because I'm not sure what division they are. Come to find out, they have 450 boys. I have 150 boys. And I'm not making excuses of it, but that does change the scenario of what we're talking about. And there's a lot of teams I've ran into over my 10, 15 years here, man, that will roll in the summertime because they're a Division I or a big D2. They don't go compete, like you said. They win almost all their summertime games, turn around, go to season, and win five, six, seven games. And then they just keep doing it over and over. Part of that is the size of their school, and it hurts them. But at the same time, you do then have to stretch yourself as a coach. And those are the games I do enjoy talking to my kids about. Like, hey, that's a Division I school. Yeah, they don't have 6'8" and 6'7" like this school does, but look how hard they compete, because they have to be able to compete in their league and try to get wins. And so those are the things I take away too, along with wins and losses. And it's a lot of it is competing. And you got to be careful though, because like you said, you lose some close games in the summertime, and it come wintertime, you worry about it. But as coaches, we have more timeouts, we have more prep, we have more game work, all those things. And so I'm telling you right now, bud, summer's fun. Summer goes by fast. You blink an eye and it's over. You feel like you should have done more. You feel like maybe you should have done less. It's a double-edged sword all the time. But once the season comes around, you try to build off the things you talked about in the summertime, like you just got done talking about. And you go into the season, you do it again. And before you know it, you'll have gray hairs like me, and it'll be 15 years of head coaching in, buddy.
I think too, the summer setting is not conducive for our type of programs that have kids that are being pulled in different directions with different sports. Because once you do get them and they're fully engaged with basketball and thinking about basketball, you get a better attention to detail from them. And I think a lot of times at smaller school, a lot of your success comes from that week of practice and that preparation and that scouting report. Because we don't have the athletes that can just go out there and switch every screen and guard anybody and have it be interchangeable and this and that. We have to know what's coming. Our kids have to rep it. They have to be able to execute whatever defense or offense you want them to in this scenario. And then they have to make the play on top of it. But when our kids don't know it's coming, that disadvantage that we already have athletically and maybe even with some skill set wise against these bigger schools really rears its ugly head.
Oh, definitely. It definitely does. And we talked about that. I mean, you talked about that at Findlay Moore. You know, we do take pride in our scouters, and we do take pride in letting our kids know what strengths and weaknesses are. That's something I try to teach in the summertime, Toby, is, hey, you know, couple possessions into the game, I look at the bench. Hey, who is the best player? Who is the best shooter? Have you seen it yet? Get them thinking about it, you know, because we do give it to them in the wintertime because we watch every single game we can. And so those are things I try to do in the summertime too. I'm not great at it. I do forget about it because I get engaged in the game and try to figure it out myself also. But those are things I've talked to the kids about, not necessarily every single year or every single one or all the kids at once, but those are things I try to teach and talk about. Like, hey, he just hit two threes. Might want to kind of close out and make sure that he's, you know, don't give him a third one type deal. And so, like I said, summertime is you play a lot of kids, you sub differently, you have different rules like 15-minute running clock, and if you foul, it's an automatic point. We've been to some tournaments where you could make a common foul, bud, it's an automatic point and the ball back. Like, so if you foul three times in a possession just because your kids are being aggressive, that's 3-0, and they still have the basketball. Where in high school, it's only three fouls and nothing's occurred yet. So that factors into it too, that I think a lot of coaches forget about is those simple point that add up. And the next thing you know, it's a 10-point game when it probably should be a 4-point game. Or the one rule that I play at is one free throw determines all the points. So if I shoot a 3-pointer and get fouled and I miss the free throw, I get 0 points, which is it keeps the game going and it keeps the summertime moving. I get all those. But those are factors you got to bring in too when you look at the final score, because in the wintertime, you get three free throws, not just one. And so those are different things that coaches, you got to adjust to in the summer and not lose your mind over when your kids aren't performing or the score doesn't go in your favor.
If only the audience could have seen me and Sweet up in the coach's courtesy room eating like Fritos and drinking coffee at 7 in the morning, just licking our wounds from the day before, talking about summer basketball. What are you doing? How can we do this differently? Why do we even do this? Blah, blah, blah. It was quite the spectacle.
The best part is when you just start, and I'm there with my varsity assistant, just start throwing motion at options at him. Like, hey, let's run the Virginia wheel. Let's run, you know, the European ball screen. Let's go back to this motion. And he's been around me long enough that we'll bring up certain motions that I know just fire him up. And he's like, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We're doing that crap now. And that 7 o'clock meeting, man, where we just had coffee and some Doritos. It went by fast, and next thing we know, we had to go coach again, and it was all good, and we had a fun day. But yeah, we did again then about what, two or about 12:15, but this time we had a Diet Coke and Doritos at that
Yeah.
time. So it was a good time, good experience, and the kids had a lot of fun.
I think if we're going to get sponsored by anyone, shouldn't it be Diet Coke? Because legitimately on the AAU circuit, outside of the autism speak shirt, the only thing better is the record when drinking a Diet Coke.
That's going to be another podcast, but you want to talk about pet peeves that drive me nuts. And one of them is Toby Miller's Diet Coke when he's coaching. I want to kick the thing across the court, but we'll get to that another time and place.
We'll have to talk about that another time, Sweet. But
Will.
the Diet Coke is key to the success on the AAU circuit, so much so that you woke up one morning and asked me point blank, do you have a Diet Coke?
Well, at that point, we were on the roll, man, and we had to keep winning. So I had to make sure you had your Diet Coke for you, bud.
I love
Oh,
it. You take
shoot.
good care of me, Sweet, but why don't you get us out of here?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast. You know, summer basketball is a different time. Hopefully, you enjoyed our little banter talking about everything. But on the Point to Post podcast, every point guard needs to go post up, and every post player wants to rebound and become the point guard. Thanks for listening, and have a good night.